Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
Proverbs it's a book written for men. So we study this with the purpose of growing as men in knowledge of God, that what He left on record for us to know in this book of Proverbs. So today we're going to be reading Proverbs chapter 9, since today is July the 9th. And this Proverbs basically starts off by just talking about the invitations of wisdom and folly. So while you guys get that, I'm going to go ahead and prayer, and we're going to give it to you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for continually blessing us each, to continue to help us online, to help everybody that's been online faithfully. People that aren't online, just pray that you continue to bless them and help them just where they are. I pray that you help us learn something from this today, bring wisdom and knowledge to each and every one of us. And she's not great, man. So, of wisdom and folly. I'm going to read the first section, since all of it, you know, basically tells the story of what's going to be going on here. It says, wisdom has built her house. She has set it up at seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent her house, her servants, and she calls from the highest point in the city. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come eat my food and drink my wine that I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever insults, whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. So those verses right there, you know, the irony of it, the first nine verses that I've just read, continuously go on to talk about wisdom and folly and how you basically have your cause and effect of good things versus the bad things. And in these verses right here, just continues to start talking about how she prepares her meat and her mix her wine, and how her table's already set and she's gone forth and continue to think ahead and strive for being wise and preparing this and going forth in her house. This is why she can invite people. And also, she has servants, so she has to be in some type of higher power, or she has to be knowledgeable and wise that other people would even follow her to even have servants. And just because it says the highest point in the city, that's probably not where she is, but even still, she can reach there with her servants. And I think because of that, and with her being wise, I think that the next couple of verses, verses 7 through 9, they continue to go on and talk about the mocker, and comes along with that. Certain people in certain places that we see that you try and correct, most of the time they're going to meet you with something that, you know, this is something that they don't want to hear. They want to do it their way. They'll continue doing it their way because that's the way they like it. So when you tell them, you know, you try and correct them or put them on the right path or try and, you know, point them in the right direction, they don't want to hear it. You know, a lot of people nowadays definitely get stuck in their ways of thinking. As it goes on to continue, you know, those who are wise, they will love the rebuke. They will continue to add that to their learning. You know, the wise people know that in correction, you know, a lot of the time you can learn from that. And the unwise people are going to think that, you know, I can't take anything from this. They're just doing this to me for whatever. But at the same time, just being wise and continuing study and build upon what you know and build upon the wise things that you continue to learn as you go through your life. Definitely you want to be the wise person that takes the rebuke, and as it says, you know, add that to your learning. I think as we grow up, we definitely go through certain experiences, and we got to take heed to those experiences and definitely learn from them. I think that you go through it for a reason, and just don't take that reason as, you know, is a bad thing, but you just got to sometimes roll with the punches and continue to go on. I have a couple callers online. You guys have any comments that you want to add to this?
Yeah, I would like to add a comment. The way the Bible is talking about wisdom, is personifying wisdom, or the word is making it seem as it's a woman and a female or a person that's teaching, when it says she, to give us more of a personal feel, to say that this is like a person. Wisdom is like a person, and what it's teaching us. And wisdom can be like a nourishing mother or a nourishing person that is always trying to provide the best for us. And so instead of just being words on a paper or in a book, personifies it as being something that can be human to help us. And we have to look at the Word of God as the Word of God is alive to help us. And so as we study the Word of God, the Word will begin to become alive. And that's the whole point of this study, the whole point of getting involved, is so that the Word can become alive in us. And so these things no longer are just stuff that's in a book, but it's something that experienced from people down through generations have gone through and have listened to and have understood. And so that's why it's so important for us to understand wisdom and to turn away from foolishness, because foolishness contrasted with wisdom is a deadly thing, and it's a constant battle in everybody's life to turn away from foolishness and turn to things of wisdom, because just as hard as wisdom is trying to get you on the right path, foolishness is trying to get you on the wrong path. So you have good wisdom and you have foolish wisdom. And so we have to study the Word of God to make sure we know which ones we should listen to and apply it to our lives.
Amen, amen. That's definitely why we call in, just to, you know, continue to build upon our wisdom. Is there anybody else that would like to make any other comments? All right. If not, we'll continue on reading on the next couple of verses here. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be merry, years will be added upon your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a marker, you alone will suffer." So basically, just as we were just talking about, you know, there are many benefits of wisdom. And just as it says here, you know, your days will be longer. And I think not only just because you're being wise, but the way that you use your wisdom will help you prolong your life, you know, being in certain situations, you use the you use what you know in the best ways. And I think that with wisdom, you have to know how to use it. You know, you just can't go around and just be like, "Oh, I'm wise." You have to know when to use it, at what times. You know, you definitely learn in certain situations, timing is key. That's being wise, you know. Certain times, some things don't need to be said. Some things need to be said at certain times. Using your wisdom to understand when to use your words, use different tones, and just growing over time, you'll learn how to deal with certain people, just in general, and that goes along with being wise. You have to know how to use it. I just like how it says, you know, in the beginning, it was like, you know, the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, you know, just because he was there in the beginning, so he knows everything. So with this knowledge, like it says, you know, of the Holy One is understanding. So a lot of people, you know, we strive to be like God, be like Christ, and definitely this wisdom, they're the wisest of them all. So with the wisdom that they have left for us, we just continue to just indulge in the Word and try and use our wisdom over time best as possible. Also at the end of the 12th verse, you know, it talks about the marker. Definitely, I think in life, there's always that marker that tries to get you to stray off and tries to get you, you know, just not do things the right way. You know, sometimes we see a lot of other people, you know, that are wealthier and higher than us, and they don't even struggle, and we're out here struggling, and, you know, sometimes it makes it look easier when they mock us, and they and people that are in other positions mock us, and, you know, we don't want to do certain things, but like it says, you know, the mockers, they suffer long. I think some of the wisest people aren't always, you know, the wealthiest, and the ones that aren't in the highest positions. You know, some people just think that, you know, with the position, you know, everything else is going to come. But in certain positions, you definitely have to be wiser, especially in leadership. Certain leadership, you have to be wiser than, you know, just being in power. Oh, do this because I say this, you know. Sometimes that's not going to work all the time. And I think over time that's been proven that just because you're in power and you say certain things and you do certain things a certain way doesn't mean that it's always the wisest way or the best way. I think even looking at it as the job aspect, you know, as over time, wisdom, you know, giving it to certain people, I think that working, that say given a certain scenario that, you know, you're doing a job or something and you find a better way to do it. You know, over time and over years, we've built and have better equipment. So, you know, just like my grandfather said, work smarter, not harder. You know, there's always an easier way to do something. And I think that that definitely uses wisdom, because it takes a lot to notice or even just to say, you know, sometimes I don't know this, can I get some help? I think that that comes along with wisdom too, knowing when you get to a certain point to ask for help or look for help or even to go back to the instructions or a book, that that takes key. That's my take on these couple verses. You guys got any comments?
Yeah, I think you're right on point. You know, it begins with the fear of the Lord, and, you know, the respect, you know, because, you know, in the beginning, you know, he knows all this. You know, the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. So when we come to God and we humbly say, hey, God, I don't know everything, and so, you know, I want you to teach me and give me the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding of how to deal with this, that puts us in a situation where God can take control, but we have to humble ourselves before God. That's one of the things my father always say, we humble ourselves before God so that he can teach us the wisdom, the guidance, the knowledge, and the understanding. And basically, you're just humbling, saying, I realize that I was created by God, and I don't know more than my creator. And that takes humbleness, because, you know, some people say, well, there is no God. And some people say, you know, where is God? But you have to get into the Word of God. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so once you hear the Word of God and by faith accept him as your Lord, your Savior, as your Creator, now you're in a position to be able to get the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding of how to deal in this world, how to deal with yourself, how to deal with friends, how to deal with finance, how to deal with things on the job and everything in this world, because there was a creator that created all this stuff, and he desired to share it with us so that we'll have an understanding, so we can have an abundant life. So that first thing in that verse 10 is the fear of the Lord, the reverence of God. It starts right there, and if you have no reverence, if you have no fear of God, then you won't respect him as your creator, acknowledge him as your creator, and you'll make mistakes, and you'll end up in bad places more often than not than if you were to trust him as your creator with the wisdom. And he'll put people in your life, which, you know, put you in situations where you are taught by people, helped by people, people will come and go, but God will pour into your life through those people so you can have the ability to be able to thrive wherever you are. And I like what you said about, you know, a lot of people don't have to be rich to have wisdom, which is so true. As long as they're in touch with God and recognize Him as their creator, they can be used by God to be imparted with wisdom and export that wisdom to someone else.
Definitely on point there. Is there any other callers that like to make any comments here? All right. If not, I'm going to go to the next last verses here. So the last section of this chapter says, folly is as an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in a deep realm of the dead. So this right here, as I said earlier about the contrast, about basically, as you said, the sonification of the folly and the wisdom as a woman, basically sets out to explain the point of what folly looks like, you know, of what versus wisdom looking at it, you know, they basically said everything opposite of a wise woman. You know, she, a folly woman just calls out to anybody, you know, has no care who it is, and she doesn't prepare anything. And she just basically locks on to whoever, and as it says, are in the realm of the dead. As soon as they continue to walk into her and talk to her, that, you know, that she's already bringing them down. She's already setting them up for failure. You know, as soon as she sees them, you know, that's it. You know, it's a wrap. Once you put your claws in you, then most of the time, you know, like I said, that's a wrap. I think that thinking about this in certain situations, it says that she's at the top of the hill. She's at the point of, you know, at the highest point of the city. So I think that being up there, that certain people, you know, walk past her, and most of the people, you know, you want to be at the top, and you want to, you know, be closer, per se, in drawing the picture of wisdom being at the bottom, folly being at the top. And, you know, as I think that people sometimes place themselves above wisdom, like I was saying earlier, and doing that, thinking that you know everything and thinking that, you know, placing yourself at the top, even over God sometimes, certain people do that. And like you said, you know, they don't believe in God, that they know everything, you know. There's like Scientologists, you know, they have the answer to everything. Everything has an answer, and they can figure it out, you know. But at the same time, even though you can go through and scientifically try to even recreate the beginning, or even say, you know, this is how things are created, that knowledge to even understand and know how certain things are created, not just, you know, trying to say the beginning of the world, even though we know that God created the beginning of the world. But saying life in general, or, you know, just understanding and how much, you know, over the years of the wisdom, God has let us understand certain things and understand, you know, the way of, you know, that the world works. And getting back to the point of the folly, I think that we just gotta watch out for certain people that are like that. There's a lot of people that are around that just want to set out and be foolish and destruct everybody else. You know, she's catcalling to everybody that walks past, and sometimes, you know, whoever she may get in her snare or whoever she may encounter, they may not be as wise as the average man, or even not even an average man. They're just maybe foolish in their ways, but at the same time, you just have to watch and be vigilant of those people that are on the way to the top. Because most of the time they just want to bring you down, and I think that, you know, if we just continue to keep focus on God and keep learning the wisdom, as it says in the verses there, that, you know, our days will be longer. That's my take on these last couple of verses. You guys have any last comments before we get ready to close here?
No, I think you're on point. It's definitely important for us to be able to know the consequences of this foolish wisdom or this foolish people. And, you know, a lot of times when you're doing wrong, it feels good. You know, it's just real. And you know, and a lot of times as young guys, or even sometimes older guys, you don't think about the consequences until it happens. So we always have to be cognizant that something always trying to work against you. And sometimes they'll give you something sweet, you know, smooth to try to get you in the hook, get their grasp. And so you always got to keep a good eye open, a good mind open, that you'll recognize when she's coming for the right way or when she's coming for the wrong way, and know the difference between the two.
Yeah, it's definitely a key. You have to use the wisdom, you know, the difference between these things. Is there any other callers that have any other last comments before we close out real quick? Talking about wisdom. All right. If not, we'll close this out with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for helping us on the first word, talking about wisdom and folly. Pray you just continue to help each and every one of us use this wisdom in the right way so our days may be longer. Pray you help us watch out for folly and use our wisdom to know when folly is near and just to stay away from it. Pray that everybody just continues to have a blessed week and have a great day today. And pray that everybody makes it back for the first word next Sunday. And Jesus, now pray, amen. All right, till next week, it's the first word.